भगवद्गीता 6.13 समं गाय शिरो ग्रीवं धारेण चलं स्थिरः संप्रेक्षिनासिकाग्रं स्वं दिशश्चानवलोकयन्. This is Hare Krishna continuing the description of the process of Ashtanga Yoga. Here he is focusing on the description of asanas. Samam kaya shiro grivam. So samam in a straight line. Kaya is the body. Shiro is the head. Grivam is the neck. So it keeps the back, the neck and the head in a straight line. Dharayan. By positioning oneself like this. Achalam sthiraha. Being firm, being non-moving, being fixed. Samprekshanasika gramswam. Samprekshan. One starts seeing. Nasika gramswam. At the tip of the nose. Nasika gramsam. Dishascha navalokayan. And Disha is directions. Cha anavalokayan. One doesn't look in various directions. So here Krishna is describing the bodily posture and the focus of the eyes. So, asanas are important preliminary steps for focusing the mind. Actually, if we see in most activities, there are postures which are comfortable. They may be slightly customized for different people. For example, when a batsman is going to bat, every batsman has a particular stance. Now, how the batsman sees, how far the bat keeps, one batsman keeps the bat from the body, or does the bat touch the ground or is raised above the ground, how much distance to keep between the legs, how far to stand from the stumps, whatever. So there are so many things which are which comprise the stance, which is like the posture, which is like the asana, we could say. Now the principle that there is a comfortable efficient posture for subsequent action, that is universal. Many times when people sit on chairs, they often, if they find, they try to make the chair comfortable so that they can do their work properly, whatever work it may be. Now, while these are crude examples of the role of postures, but the point is that the postures do play a role. And that role is not to be downplayed or denigrated or denied. Acknowledging that role enables us to move forward in our inner journey. So here Krishna is not talking about any particular asana. There are many different asanas which are there in yoga, in the yoga shastras, and different asanas serve different purposes. Now many of the asanas are also meant for facilitating bodily health. The purpose of facilitating bodily health is not bodily enjoyment, as is widely thought of, considered today. You know, nowadays, many people practice yoga primarily for the purpose of for enhancing bodily health. But the yogis who want to realize their identity beyond the body, even such yogis know that ultimately the body is temporary. And ultimately we need to go beyond the body. But still they know that as long as the soul is in the body, the body has to be taken care of. It said, shariram dharma sarira dharma sadhanam. And the body is the tool for practicing dharma, for for higher spiritual pursuits. If the body is sickly, then one cannot focus on higher spiritual truths. Although one may strive to, and sometimes we may appreciate the sheer determination and the capacity of some advanced devotees or some serious yogis. We may appreciate the determination to tolerate and transcend their bodily limitations. But beyond that, even they have some limit on how much they can tolerate and transcend. And they also take treatments and they also take precautions for their body. So similarly, our level of tolerance or our capacity to tolerate or transcend the body's problems may be much lesser. But even for those who have renounced who have more or less renounced the world and who are focusing on intense or exclusive practice of yoga, as are the seekers being talked about here, who have gone to the forest to a secluded place, even for such yogis, maintenance of health is important. And Krishna will talk about that further again in Yuktahara Viharasya, a few verses later, 16th and 17th verses of this chapter. But here, Krishna gives a broad principle that sit erect. So the idea is that if one slouches, then actually the ability to focus also becomes difficult. One's mind also starts becoming sluggish when the bodily posture is lethargic, is conducive to lethargy. So the erect sitting, now many people today have back problems because of which erect sitting is practically impossible. So that is not an insurmountable obstacle. As the point of externals is not that we consider the externals to be the ultimate thing and think that without the external nothing is possible. The point of externals is to recognize that these externals are conducive, and as much as possible we should try to have these externals. So, as erect as possible. So, in case it's not exactly possible to keep in a straight vertical line, keep the back and neck and head as erect as possible. And then, samprekshana sikagram swam. So, look at the tip of the nose. Now, we may wonder, is there some mystical energy stored at the tip of the nose? That one should focus on that tip. And Krishna says further, this is Chanavalokayan, and don't look here and there. Don't make the exercise of yoga into a sightseeing exercise where one sits in one place, but let the eyes wander here and there, and then along with that the mind also wanders. And the mind is meant to wander, not wander. Wonder not about what is there out in the material world, but wonder about what treasures are hidden deep within, and to pursue those treasures. So that is, of course, a long way off for most of us, but we can get glimpses of that when we experience some deep peace or some very special bliss during our practice of Bhakti Yoga. You understand that there is much that is there within which we can seek and gain. So here, the point of focusing on the tip of the nose should also be understood. There's nothing specifically mystical about the tip of the nose. In fact, Krishna has earlier told in 5.27.28 that one should focus on the space between the eyebrows. Sparshan krutva bahirbhayam chakshushchaiva antare bhruvo chakshushchaiva antare bhruvo, that in between the focus and the space between the eyebrows. So the point of whether you focus on the point on the space between the eyebrows or at the tip of the nose, the point is to have some stable external point for focus by which one does not get distracted and captivated within the changes within the external world, changes in the outer circumstances. And by having one steady external point, one brings one's vision and one's thoughts under control, they are raging around, we try to bring them under control. And then once they are brought under control, then they can be led inwards. And that inward journey will be subsequently talked about in the ongoing discussion on this chapter. Thank you.